بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Answering it down some questions and questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Allah هو ذا الرحمن
Allah
هو ذا المنان.
لا إله إلا الله.
Please send us your emails through our email, which is englishradio@irib.ir.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio Call of Islam page. Well, welcome to another episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. I am Atan, the host of this program. Brother Suhail is here to answer our questions. Assalamu alaikum, brother. Welcome to the show.
Wa alaikum salam. Thank you, dear viewers. Thank you, brother.
Okay, brother Suhail, let's talk about an important topic for today's discussion. And that is the time of death. Some Shias believe that at the time of this, they would see the face of Imam Ali alayhi salam. This is the first part of our today's question. And the other one is that, is it true that the Shias, for example, would not go to hellfire because of the hadiths, because of the love that they have for the Ahlul Bayt? Let's first talk about the first segment, seeing the face of Imam Ali at the time of death. Is it true?
So we have tradition from the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, where he says, O Ali, your friends will triumph in three places, when their souls are separated from their body and you would be present beside them. Two would be, you would guide them when they are being questioned in the grave. And three, you would introduce them when they are presented before Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have a narration from Al-Harith Al-Hamadani that says, when I went to Amirul Mumineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam, he asked me, what brought you here? I replied, the love for you, O Amirul Mumineen. And he asked, do you adore me, O Harith? And he replied, indeed, by God I do. He said, even as your soul reaches your throat, at the moment of your death, you would see me as a friend you loved. You would find me to be the friend you loved, even as I would be scattering people like driving away wild camels which do not belong to my herd. You would find me a friend that you loved when you see me crossing the bridge with the Prophet, peace be upon him, holding aloft the banner of unicity in my hand. Then Hazrat Ali, Imam Ali alayhi salam says, O Harith Hamnan, whoever dies sees me, whether he be a believer or a hypocrite. You see? So we have traditions that actually say that we would see Amirul Mumineen at the time of our death. Now, here we can take it literally that we will see him and understand and know that it is him. And so we will know that Amirul Mumineen is there at the time of our death. So we have this narration as well that says that Imam Ali says, anyone who loves us when they pass away and they are happy, like they would be in happy state and they would see us, they would visit, they would view us, they would be able to see us, those states, yeah.
That's right. So this is for the first segment of the question.
Yeah, this is for the first segment of the question. Then we have the second segment about the Shias won't go to hell.
Is it true that the Shias will not go to hell, for example, because the love they have for Ahlul Bayt or something?
So here we have some traditions that say about the Shias and their connection with Amirul Mumineen. And here we need to first identify who the Shias are, whether literal meaning, technical meaning, or according to Ahl Bayt alayhi salam. So here Shia literally means they include party, ummah, faction, companion, follower, friend, helper, and a group of people who have converged and gathered on a matter. So whenever you see a group of people, you could literally call them Shias. The technical meaning, however, Shia in its technical meaning refers to those who believe in the immediate successorship to Imam Ali alayhi salam and also believe that such succession has been alluded to him through explicit and implicit mention and that it is his and his progeny's right.
Yes.
Conceptually, the term Shia has been used for different meanings. At time, it has been used to refer political support or advocacy or friendship. At other times, it has also been used to mean following the infallible imams in practice. Now here we have the meaning of Shia according to infallible imams. of which we have certain narrations that say what is understood from these narrations of the Imams is that a Shia doesn't simply mean affiliated with the denomination out of all other denominations. Rather, being a follower, a Shia of Ahlul Bayt entails chastity and struggles in the way of Allah, such that a person will be a true Shia. For that reason, on different occasions did the Imam deal seriously with those people who regarded themselves as Shia to justify their needs. Then there are some narrations that are said. So here, if it depends on the second question, that when you say love Ahlul Bayt, what do you mean? It's just, okay, I love Ahlul Bayt, but then I don't follow him. Do you mean that kind of a Shia? Or no, you actually mean a Shia who actually follows the Ahlul Bayt.
Yes.
So if you say the one who actually follows in this literal meaning of the one given by the infallible Imams, yes, they won't touch her.
Mm-hmm.
You see? But if you are saying about just being a Shia, no. So we have the verses in the Quran where the foundations of someone to go to hell and heaven is his actions. You see? And it's not like someone would just get a free pass just because he's a Shia or something. But at the same time, we have seen these narrations that one of the Imams has stated, if I'm not mistaken, that I do not fear for my Shias the day of judgment.
Mm-hmm.
For there is tawassul in place as well. That takes place in the day of judgment.
You mean the real Shias, of course, the followers.
So we hear in the narration that we have that it's not only those Shias, even those who might have been doing sins and mistakes that have asked for repentance and stuff, wherever, and that's why we have a tradition as well that Al-Mahdi alayhi salam says that whenever they come to me on the day of judgment, like on the day of accountability, he will have the right to ask Allah for forgiveness of these few Shias, these Shias. And therefore he says, don't come with an account that has sins and things that I cannot ask wasila for and be your guide over there. You see? So we have that as well. But generally speaking, what we see in regarding to after death, whether it's heaven and hell, it's related to the actions, of which the continuation of that hadith was, I do not fear for them the day of judgment, but I fear for them barzakh.
That's right.
You see? So we have heaven and hell, and we have barzakhi heaven and hell, and we have the final day of judgment, heaven and hell as well.
Yes.
Of which the one that takes place in barzakh as well is not to be taken lightly.
Okay. Thank you much, Sheikh, for a nice elaboration. Let's take a break, and after we get to our next question for today's program.
IRIB English Radio presents Questions and Answers on Islamic Beliefs. Answering your theological questions in Questions and Answers on Islamic Beliefs. Send us your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. Brother Suhail is with me in the studio to answer our questions for today's discussion. So, for the second segment, we want to talk about the repentance from our sins. And is it true that by repentance or the tawbah, the effects of the sins will be removed from our history and would be no questions about them? So what is the best quality of a tawbah repentance, Sheikh?
So you are saying that if a sinner normally knows his state and notices his wrongdoings and he knows that he should do and what he should not do, he must get ready to repent, to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to follow the instructions of the spiritual doctor, which we call Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Ahlul Bayt, where they tell us like what to do when we see. So we have the story of Hazrat Adam and Eve,
mm-hmm.
You see, where after the story of what happened, what transpired them to go to the tree and what happened after that. So they got out of paradise.
Yes.
You see, they cried loudly, "Our Lord, we have been unjust to ourselves and fallen into prison of inadvertence and selfishness and slipped into darkness of greediness and pride." We find that Adam and Eve, due to reason, sight, wakefulness, and at the same time, with regret, have not been impolite before Allah. They have not said to Him, "Forgive us." Like Adam and Eve did not say, "Astaghfirullah."
Okay.
Only. They came and, but they have said, in Surah number 7, verse number 23, "And if thou forgive us not and have not mercy on us, we shall certainly be of losers." So this kind of forgiveness that Hazrat Adam and Eve, they asked, was understanding what position they are in right now.
Mm-hmm.
And if Allah does not forgive them, what is the outcome that is going to come out of it?
Mm-hmm.
That kind of realization in any kind of forgiveness has weight. And after that, after this humbleness, submissiveness, regret, crying, repenting, and going out of prison of selfishness to the wide horizon of Allah's mercy, the doors of mercy have been opened for Adam and Eve, and the divine have come to save them from that misery and terrible fate. And then they say in the holy verse, Surah number 2, verse 37, "Then Adam received some words from his Lord, so he turned to him mercifully. Surely he is oft returning, the merciful." And then we have intentions of doing good and intentions of doing bad, and that intention before doing the good and the intention before doing the bad. So if a person has an intention of doing the bad, before he does the bad, that bad is not written in his accounts.
Mm-hmm.
You see? And if he's not doing, after intending to do something bad, if he doesn't do, then Allah has given him that not doing the sin itself counts as a forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where the sin is not yet recorded.
That's right.
In the
but the real tawbah must happen over there.
Yeah.
I mean, so, the repentance must be the real one. And the real one is that, for example, you do a special tawbah for not committing any more sin.
Yeah.
You must leave it forever.
No, so what you're saying is for a person who has committed a sin,
yes,
and then afterwards he wants to repent.
Uh-huh.
Here I'm saying for a person who intends to sin,
that's right,
but he then does not sin.
Okay.
So a person who intends to sin but does not sin,
mm-hmm,
is a way of Allah showing him gratitude that I have forgiven you.
Yes.
For not doing the sin itself, mm-hmm, is a sign from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of not continuing with that intention or thought of doing bad.
Yes.
You see? But after a sin is committed, then comes that there are ways, okay, I have committed this sin, but there are ways and stages of what requires to be done so that I can repent and my repentance should have an effect.
Mm-hmm.
You see? Of which we have heard a lot of, for example, the word afu. The word afu, it's, as it can be heard from certain scholars, they say that when someone recites al-afu after obviously having that essence and reflection of what he did, the sin does not only come out of that book, it does not remain over there. Different from astaghfirullah rabbi wa atubu ilayk, where the sins are forgiven, but it's already there in the scroll. Now, why being there and not being there is important? So what happens is that on the day of Barzakh or the day of Qiyamah, for example, where our accountability takes place, we see that we have some narrations that while Allah is giving us to read our scrolls,
yes,
it's not only Him that we are showing. It is also that the Ahlul Bayt will be there when they are looking at our scroll and they see what we did. So I remember one of the NDE experiences of this specific book is called 3 Minutes of Qiyamah, which is in English and Farsi as well. In one of the parts that this guy, the one who is experiencing, felt that the earth left his feet,
mm-hmm,
the way he was ashamed, was that when his scroll of deeds were recited to him, there was a lady over there who could see all of it. And afterwards he came to realize that that lady, or at the same time he realized that that lady that is over there is actually Bibi Fatima Zahra Salamullahi Alayha. Mm-hmm. And that thing was too much ashamed, because a lot of time when we sin, we try to see that, okay, nobody is looking, so it doesn't matter. You see, that essence is not there. But our scroll of deeds, as normally viewed by Ahl Bayt alayhi salam, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and the his holy progeny.
Thank you much, Sheikh, for a nice elaboration regarding these two questions and topics for today's discussion. It was very kind of you.
Thank you.
And thank you much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. See another episode. God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
Inna fil jannati nahran min laban li aliyin wa husayin wa hasan. Li aliyin wa husayin wa hasan. إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن علي وحسين وحسن.